And Pete and Hazel are going to come and bring our scripture readings to us.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7. I'm reading verses 12 to 16. The Lord appeared to him at night. He said to him, "I have heard your prayer, and I accept this temple as the place where sacrifices are to be offered to me. Whenever I hold back the rain or send locusts to eat up the crops or send an epidemic on my people, if they pray to me and repent and turn away from the evil they have been doing, then I will hear them in heaven, forgive their sins and make their land prosperous again. I will watch over this temple and be ready to hear all the prayers that are offered here, because I have chosen it and consecrated it as the place where I will be worshipped forever. I will watch over it and protect it for you for all time."
The second reading is Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud had him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men, dressed in white, suddenly stood beside him and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven." Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a kilometre away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas, son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Pete and Hazel, for reading for us. I'm sorry to scare you. Is it scary when you suddenly look down at your notes and realise that the reading you've given them is a typo and it should be 2 Chronicles, not 1 Chronicles? But well done. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for all your word, for the truths that it holds, for the messages of hope and salvation that we can find within its pages, for the instruction that it gives to us. Father, as we spend just a few minutes now reflecting on your word, we pray you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear afresh from you the message that you have for each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we were able to spend some time reflecting on the year that has just gone. And we heard testimony from 5 friends who shared their reasons to be thankful to God in their different circumstances. And as we move forward into this new year, we want to encourage you to find time to pray together too. This year is a big year in the life of this church. For starters, we have our big day in coming up in just a few weeks' time. This is going to be a fantastic day together as we unpack God's word and open ourselves up to all that he wants to do in us and all that he wants to give us through his Holy Spirit. This year may also be the year that we appoint our new team leader. I think we may have said that at this time last year too. And as we wait on God's plans and timings, it's good to remember that we need to pause and come together to pray. To help us to pray as a church, we are going to have a day of prayer on Wednesday the 20th of January. And we're going to devote a full 24 hours to praying to God for his church and its work here. Our particular focus on the 20th will be on the big day in, on our vision, and on all that God has in store for us. And I do hope that you will go downstairs after the service and sign up on the clock face, as it were, in the Friendship Centre. Sign up for a 20-minute slot to pray for the church. So to help us to think about prayer and how we can pray together, I thought it would be good to spend a bit of time this morning looking at the book of Acts to see what we can learn together. And in particular, I want to focus on those few verses from Acts chapter 1, although there are many other passages throughout the book of Acts that I could have chosen to read from. In our passage this morning, we read that the 11 apostles made the journey back from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem and went to the room that they were staying in. In that room, they met regularly as a group and with a number of others to pray as they waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised them. And it's this idea of praying together that I want to explore this morning and its implications for us as a church. The first aspect of togetherness is that the group were physically together. They were in the same place. They're in the same room. They could speak and see one another and hear the prayers as they were being spoken. And you know, I think there's something very special and very powerful about being able to pray in a group. I know people get nervous sometimes about praying in a group or praying out loud. There are times when we get too hung up, perhaps, about how we're going to sound or what we're going to say. And so we tend to go quiet and not pray out loud. We sit in silence, listening to others, but not offering our own prayers out loud for others to join in with us. You know, for me, listening to others pray and hearing their words that resonate with my spirit is a very powerful thing. Perhaps we are denying others that same experience when we remain silent ourselves. Let me encourage you then to speak out your prayers to God and to let others hear them. Lift their spirits as they're able to say amen along with you. But having said that, praying out loud is not the only way that we can pray together. And prayer itself can take on a number of different forms. It can be contemplative. It can be vocal. It can be expressed in art or with music. The key thing from this passage is the very act of being together. The apostles and friends met regularly to pray together. There was a unity and a commitment to one another in meeting like this, which I believe we would do well to understand. You see, we live in a very different world to the world of the apostles. The pressures and demands on our times are far greater than ever before. And as the world seems to be getting smaller and smaller in terms of the way we connect with one another, so those pressures on our time seem to increase. Finding time to meet together regularly for prayer becomes much harder. Indeed, finding time to sit quietly on our own to pray can be hard enough. But there is something to be said for coming together with our brothers and sisters to pray. And I think it's worth persisting with. We should be able to create time in our diaries to meet with others to pray for prayer. Perhaps at our home group, at church on Sundays, before and during the services, with the prayer ministry team after the service. Perhaps on special occasions such as prayer breakfasts and prayer days. Perhaps you might even consider making a prayer triplet with others to pray for the church this coming year. These are opportunities to practice discipleship and meet together, to lift one another and lift our voices together to God. As the apostles waited for God to send the Holy Spirit, they met regularly together for prayer. As we wait God, await God to work amongst us here in a new way. Perhaps we too should find opportunities to meet together, physically together, to pray. The second aspect of praying together is to be found in the constancy of prayer. And to understand this, you need to read again verse 14, but not from the Good News translation, as I actually think the Good News is a little bit unhelpful here. See, many other translations use the word constantly instead of frequently. And so when you change that, verse 14 then reads like this: all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And when you read that verse like that, you get the sense that the apostles and friends locked themselves away in the room and prayed non-stop until God intervened. When you read the passage in this way, there's a greater sense of urgency. The apostles were praying with a sense of expectation and need as they wait for God to act as Jesus has promised he would. Perhaps they were aware of their need for the Holy Spirit in their lives. Perhaps they were living with an element of fear as their lives were still under threat. What is for sure is that they were praying with constancy and with urgency and with absolute conviction that Jesus would do all that he promised. They should wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit. It would appear that this prayer time could have lasted around 10 days after returning from the Mount of Olives until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the group. That's 10 days of being together. 10 days of prayer and worship. 10 days of constantly calling out to God with praise, with intercessions, with requests. 10 days of waiting for God to act. In our first reading this morning, eventually, we saw another example of constancy in prayer. But not just constancy, persistence also. You see, the first 7 chapters of 2 Chronicles list a number of occasions where Solomon prays to God. He prays asking for wisdom. He prays for the nation. He prays asking God to forgive the people. And he prays asking God for restoration. And in chapter 7, God answers Solomon and he says, "I have heard your prayer and I accept this temple." And he goes on. You see, Solomon had a dialogue with God. He was talking to God regularly, constantly, persistently. And God hears, and God responds to him. I wonder, how long do we give it? How long are we prepared to pray until we hear from God? Or until we see the evidence of God at work? In both our readings, there is a sense of expectation that God will deliver. The constant prayers or the persistence in keeping asking are not a sign of a lack of faith or even of doubt. They are more an expression of devotion and certainty that the people are doing God's will and that they are seeking to do things his way. Like Solomon, like the apostles, we too need to be patient. We need to be persistent. And most of all, we need to be constant in our prayer life together. We can be certain that God will and does hear our prayers. We can be certain that God will answer our prayers. We just need to wait on him for the right answers and the right timings. God wants us to pray together, physically and constantly. There's another aspect of togetherness, though, that we need to consider, and that is the need to pray together in harmony. As we explore this passage from Acts together, it's important to understand that there's another meaning for this word together. You see, the word together can actually have a different meaning than physically being in the same place as others. When Luke uses this same term at other times in the book of Acts, he means something different. He means that the apostles were of one accord. That is to say, they were praying for the same thing. This was a coordinated time of prayer. The apostles and the others in the room were praying for the same thing. There was a sense of unity and purpose about what they were praying for. I'm sure they prayed in different ways. I'm sure they used different words. But they were all praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised to them. Sometimes when we come together to pray, we pray without that same sense of unity, that same sense of one accord. We pray for all kinds of things and all kinds of needs and concerns. And maybe our prayers can be a little bit like a scattergun, throwing out all kinds of needs, wants and hopes into the air and just hoping that God is going to sort it all out. If we're not careful, then as a church we can bombard God with lots of requests or bargains and hopes, and that perhaps he answers some. Sometimes as a church we pray for lots of things to happen, and they're all different. There's no common mind, no one accord. We're not sure what God is wanting to do for us, so we pray and hope. Here the apostles knew what to pray for, and that's what they focused on. And God answered. Praying together is about praying for the same things, praying for the same outcome. We must make sure that we're not pulling in opposite directions to one another with our prayers. And I believe that we have a very clear vision as a church. I believe that most of us here know what that vision is. We know what God wants us to do. We know who God wants us to be as his church. Our prayers need to be of one accord as we ask God to make it happen, to make us be the church that he wants us to be, and to help us to live the vision that he's given us. And I believe as we pray together, God will answer our prayers. He will show us the things he has in store for us as his church. He will bring forward his man or woman to lead us as a church forward together. Our challenge is to be committed to pray. We've got a clear blueprint to follow in terms of how to pray. We are called to pray together as his people. We are called to pray together physically where we are. We are called to pray together constantly. And we're called to pray together in harmony. The prayer day on the 20th gives us a perfect opportunity to commit to praying together in all the different aspects of that meaning. We can pray together physically if we want, in our home groups or in the space in the church. We can pray together constantly. The whole 24-hour period can be covered in prayer. And we can pray with harmony as we pray for the same things, for God's vision to become a reality here, and for the church to be the church that God wants us to be. So I want to encourage you this morning to sign up for the day of prayer. But more than that, I want to encourage you to sign up for making time for prayer in your life this year. Make 2016 the year of prayer for us all, when we pray together as a church for God's plans and God's purposes to become a reality in this place. Look for opportunities to pray together. We will do more prayer days over the coming year. I want to encourage you to read the prayer board or check out the website for things to pray for. Read Update and use that as a guide for your prayers. Pray for the vision of the church. Pray for the ministry of the church. Let me encourage you to find a way of praying that works for you. Most of all, let me encourage you to pray, and to pray together. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the image of those apostles and their friends gathered together in that room, praying to you, calling out to you, waiting on you to make true your promise that you would send your Holy Spirit upon them. Father, we thank you for the image that it gives us of togetherness in prayer, of the need to meet together, to hear each other as we pray, to resonate our prayers with one another as they call out to you. For the image of the constancy of prayer, the persistence of prayer, a sign of our devotion and our longing for you to answer and to respond. We thank you too for that image of harmony in our prayers as we pray of one accord. Lord God, help us as a church to find ways of being together in prayer, that there would be a harmony and a unity about what we're praying for, that we would be seeking your will on our lives together as a church, on our vision and our mission, and on all the things that we have in store. And Father, as we call out to you, we pray that you would respond, that we would know clearly your will, and that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to follow you. Father, we pray that you would help us to be a church of prayer, that you'd encourage us to be a church that prays together in all those different aspects. In Jesus' name, we make our prayer. Amen.